Have you come expecting something good to happen today? Yes. All right, let me see your hand if you did. Yes. Everybody? Okay. We're going to have a part of the service where I'm going to reach out to you, and I want you to expect God to do something good in your life. Amen? Yes. I'm already blessed. I mean, I already had church once this morning, and I'm having a good time. So I'm going to see if I can give this message again, if I can remember most of it. What I can't, I'm going to read. Amen? I can still read, being as old as I am. And we just had a great grandbaby this week, so we have a little bundle of joy that we're going to be nursing along for a while, you know, so it's exciting. My grandson and his wife had a baby, and we're just enjoying that real good. So how many know that it's good to have something new around the house? Well, I hope you're going to have a new encounter this week, because that's the name of this sermon. Excuse me, it's about encounter with Jesus. And I know we've been praying for 21 days a while back to have an encounter with the Lord, to let God come in, do something deeper in our life. Pastor Terry gave a word in the first service about if you want God to do deeper things in your life, you're going to have to go deeper. You're going to have to dig. It's more than just sitting on a pew and waiting for something to happen to you. You got to get involved in what's going on. And hopefully today, that's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Because we can have an encounter with God one time, or we can have an encounter with God every day. And I'd rather have one with God every day, because it's fresh, it's new. He's got something different to show me. He's got something new to teach me. And I like that when I go around to do that. Amen? Now, we're going to talk about, this is kind of a step off of face-to-face. And I had shared them this morning. I didn't want to do another sermon about face-to-face. Brother Terry and Ben did those and did an excellent job on it. And it's like, no, we need to move on. And I got home and I started praying, and the Lord gave me this sermon, and it was an encounter. And it's like, duh, isn't that the same thing? And it's like, yes, it is. Because when you have an encounter with God, that's a face-to-face relationship. Amen? And we all need that every day. But I want to go back through the scripture, and I want to share some stories in the Bible. Most of you know them probably better than I do, but I want to share some stories in here, because sometimes we miss some very little intriguing jewels, that I call it, because God is bringing us to a place, and when we recognize these things, we can say, yeah, that is God. That is God bringing me to a place where I can really understand more about what He's trying to do in my life. And not only that, He'll understand more to us what we need to know. Amen? But the first one was a woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says that there was a certain woman that had an issue of blood. For 12 years, this lady bled. And she couldn't get help no matter where she went. She was bleeding. She couldn't go to the church because she was ceremonially unfit to go there at that time. She probably had no friends, because everywhere she went, she had to put her arm up and say, unclean, unclean. And that's the way she lived for 12 years. But undoubtedly, the woman had money at one time. But somewhere along the way, she spent every dime that she had giving it to physicians for help. Help me. I need to stop this. My life is coming apart, and I need you to help me. And she couldn't get it. But she heard of Jesus. And there's one thing that you need to understand. There's a lot of people that know about Jesus, but they really don't know Him. And there's a big difference in that. And at this time, at this point right here, this woman knew about Jesus. And this is my rendition of it. It's not in the scripture, but it's my story. I'll tell it. And if you don't like it, then you can put your rendition in there. But the key thing is, this woman heard that Jesus was in town. There was going on. He was healing people, and He was moving up and down the streets. And she knew that. And just by natural use of things, you think about, it's like, well, if He's coming down that street and the multitudes are around Him, I can't get to Him, but He is coming to that intersection. And when He gets there, I'm going to meet Him there. And this woman, I believe she did that. She went and she got there. And when she got there, it was no different. The multitudes were still around Him. She couldn't even get to Him. But she already had it purposed in her heart. If I can just get to Him, if I can just reach out and just touch the hem of His garment, then I'm going to be made whole. I've got to do that. I've got to. I'm destitute. I can't do nothing else. Nobody else can help me. And so she takes off and she gets there, and there they are, enthroned about Him. And I'm convinced with everything within me that she probably dropped on her knees and she probably crawled like a dog up under all these people, making her way, pulling sandals and pulling legs and getting to where she needed to go. And she got to where Jesus was and she reached up and hit the hem of his garment. And immediately, the Bible says she was healed. And Jesus says, "Who touched me? For I see that virtue has gone from me." And he knew who did it, but he asked that question so she would answer back. And she said, "I did." And I want you to know what happened just in that one instant of being changed, an encounter with Jesus. She was totally healed. But besides that, she came as a certain woman. And Jesus said, "Daughter, go. You are no longer plagued with that sickness ever again." Did you catch the difference? She came a woman. She left a daughter. God does a thorough job in our lives. And I believe that sometimes when we get healed, we get saved, we get everything that we need right there. All we got to do is say, "You know what? If he was good enough to heal me, he's good enough to save me." She didn't know anything about the cross at that time, but you and I do. And we know the atoning work that went on in our salvation. And all of that is included into that one thing. But that was one of the things that was there. She was a woman that was destitute. She was desperate. She was determined. And she got delivered. We need to remember that when we go through stuff in our life. When you feel like that you're destitute, that you can't make it anymore, you need to just come to that place and say, "You know what, I might be destitute, but I'm desperate enough to get out of it." Instead of laying down and dying over the thing, just get up, pull yourself up and say, "I'm going to go find some help and I'm going to get it soon." And that's what she did. And another thing was, she was determined to get what she went there for. She didn't care how many legs she pulled on. She didn't care how dirty she was. She didn't care because she wanted to be delivered of that thing. And she was. That's one way to have an encounter with Jesus. Another one was, there was a woman of Nain, the Bible talks about. She was a widow woman, had one son, a young son, and the young son died. And you have to know a little bit about their culture. They did not have Medicare, Social Security. Everything they had involved in their life was their son. Their son, when the daddy left the family, the son was the next in line to take care of that mother for the rest of her life. And she's looking at this coffin coming down this mountainside over there, and Jesus is standing there watching. Nobody faced him like the woman with the issue of blood. They didn't run to him. He didn't run to them. He's just sitting there watching. But he saw the compassion on the people's face, how much they loved that young boy that was in that coffin. Her hope, her everything was gone. But there were many people there suffering and mourning with her. And they saw that. And Jesus saw that. And the Bible says Jesus had compassion when he saw it. And I'm convinced that he waited till they came down. And most of the time in those days, they didn't have a coffin like we do now with pallbearers carrying them out. They came down with an open casket and they would hold it up in the air. They still do it even today. If you watch a Middle Eastern funeral, that's what they do. And Jesus is sitting there and he's waiting for it to come down. And it comes by his way. And it gets right to him, it stops. And I want you to listen to this. When the coffin came to him, they stood still. And he said to the young man, "I say to thee, arise." And the young man not only sat up, but began to speak. Now, I don't know about you, but that would scare the daylights out of me. I mean, you know this guy's dead. You know the funeral is going on. And all at once, he sits up in the coffin and says, "Hey, what are y'all doing here? What's all the commotion? Who is this? Hey, Ma, where are you at?" That's a little country far, but I guarantee it went a lot like that. And Jesus delivered him to his mother. And it says fear came on all of them. You see, I wouldn't have been the only one. They were all scared. But listen to this. Not only does an encounter with one person happen, it happens to other people around the situation too. It says fear came on all of them and they glorified God. Amen. You think you'd have a different service if we had somebody came in here that was dead and we prayed for them and they came to life? I guarantee you we would be fearful, but we would glorify God. Amen? Another thing, God had visited his people face to face. They had an encounter with Jesus right there. Then there's another story about the woman at the well. And I want to read that because I got some scriptures in there that really touched me when I was reading. And it's like, how do we miss these things when we're reading the Word of God? Because I learned when I was in Bible college that you needed to make outlines and you needed to do them intently like he wanted them done. Because what you were doing was not just writing words on a page. You were writing a picture for your spirit man to look at. Are y'all with me? And when you start writing it down and you start putting Roman numeral 1 or the dot 5 spaces and you start typing it out, and it better be that way or you fail that class. I did that one time. I didn't fail. Thank God I had some favor somewhere. But I didn't do it. 5 spaces with a dot at the end of it. Do it like he says do it. Because that was a commander in chief back then. But I want to read this to you. Chapter 4 about the Samaritan woman. Jesus has been in the city all day. He's come to the well, and here's a Samaritan woman. Jews and Samaritans didn't have things to do with one another. They were opposed to one another. But yet Jesus comes there, and he shows us a great example. And I want you to listen to this. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by the well. It was about the 6th hour, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you..." Now listen to this. I call these, and I might have mispronounced it in the first sublibital messages. Y'all know what that is? That's those things that just come to somebody will feed you. Like on TV, you know, they'll show you a hamburger. And probably in that hamburger somewhere, but you really can't see it. But it says, "Eat me now." You know, those are sublimital messages. Well, this is what Jesus was doing right here. Now, listen to this. It says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him. And he would give you the living water." And I'm going to jump down a little bit. It says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw again." And Jesus said to her, this is the part now that I want you to really understand, because when you're going to have an encounter with God, he's going to ask you certain questions. He's going to make you think about the past. But he's got a help for you while you're asking for it. But this is what he asked this lady. He says, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband to come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have said well, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you truly spoke." And the whole key here is, whatever we do with God, we got to be truthful and tell him the truth. He already knows what it is, but he wants you to get it out. He wants you to confess it. And there's no sense in playing games with God. There's no sense in lying to God. There's no sense in just playing like everybody else does it and they get away with it. You got to have, if you want an encounter with God, you got to come and be truthful with God, and you got to do what he just said. You see, we need to do that. I've told the story before that there are some people that lie so much that they believe themselves. Because a lie leads to another lie, leads to another lie. And if you get older, you forget the first lie and the second lie. All the old people say amen. But nevertheless, it doesn't matter. You can be young, because we lie sometimes and we put it back there. We tell another lie to get away with that one and another lie. And we can't do that with God. We can't do that with God's people. We need to be people of truth. Amen? But that's what he brought to her. And it says, "And then the woman said, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you, the Jews, say that in Jerusalem is the place where one are to worship.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You see, one of the things that God does is an encounter with Him, we will begin to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Before, we knew about Him. We didn't know Him, but we knew about Him. So we worshiped the best we could know that we knew. But when you get Him inside of you, your spirit man begins to worship in a way that you've never understood. That's why speaking in tongues and singing in tongues to me is so important, because there's some things I just can't express in my limited amount of English words to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, my spirit man knows how to connect. Amen? So we need to know that, and that's where He's bringing this woman to. It says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. See, we need to get that in our mind, that God is looking to have an encounter with somebody. It's not that He's aloft and He's hidden and He's back there, and we out there as feeble little people want something to worship, and we're looking for Him. Is He under here? Is He over there? Is He up there? No. He's sitting there waiting for us to come to worship Him. And we need to know that. Some people say, well, how do y'all find time? How do you find these encounters? What do you have to do? I say, well, you know, one thing we can do is we can sit around and wait for catastrophe to come. And I promise you, we'll be looking for God. We can wait for, in my case, when I waited one time for a bullet, you know, it got my attention. It didn't get it enough to get me saved, but it at least made me start thinking about it. But it took a little stick about that long stuck in my left eye, and I was totally blind for 9 months. I'm going to tell you what, I was seeking an encounter. I was like the woman with the issue of blood. I looked desperately, and I was going to find Jesus no matter what. I needed help, and I knew that He was the only one that could do what needed to be done. Amen? But you know what? You don't have to wait for bullets. You don't have to wait for sticks. You can just open up your heart and say, God, I want You. I want to have an encounter with You. I want to know You in Your fullness. I want You to use me in the days to come. I want You to bless me, and let me bless other people. And I promise you, God will do that. He will come and be a part of your life. The woman said to Him, I know. See, here she goes back to this old way. She said, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When He comes, He's going to tell us everything. But I want you to hear what Jesus said, because sometimes I believe Jesus is right there and we don't even recognize it. And Jesus looks at her and He said, I who speak to you am He. I mean, here she is waiting for the Messiah, knows about the Messiah, has already had five husbands, and the one she's living with is not hers, but she knows about Jesus. She knows a lot of stuff, but she don't know Him. But now's her opportunity, and I believe this woman had an encounter with Jesus right there. I believe that she was transformed, amen? And that's what we got to get to. Then there was another man with a withered hand in the sanctuary, came on the Sabbath, he was there. He didn't go chasing after Jesus. Jesus didn't chase after him. They were just having church as usual, going there. And here's this man with crippled hands, withered hands, it says. And Jesus, looking out on the congregation, probably caught his eye, because you know He's looking for compassionate people. He's looking for people that have a need in their life, people that are not proud and arrogant. He's looking for people that need something done in their lives. And I'm sure, just like you would, if you saw someone with a withered hand or crippled, you would look at them and just say, well, I wonder what happened to him. Wonder what's going on there. Well, you know what? Jesus, when He saw that hand, He walked over to him and He said, would thou be made whole? And the guy said, yeah. So Jesus reaches out and He touches his hand, and his hands are totally healed. He's probably snapping his knuckles because he's never done that before. He's probably looking around like, man, we're right in the middle of church. And the Pharisees rush on him and say, who do you think you are healing people on the Sabbath? Don't you know that this is the Sabbath? And Jesus says, any of you having a sheep that falls in the ditch, is it worth getting out on the Sabbath? And there was not much said, but then he said, is not this man more valuable than that sheep that is in that ditch? He got their attention. You see, not only was it an encounter for this man with the withered hand, but it was an encounter for these Pharisees and these rulers of that place. Well, you know, after that scene, how it ended up, there's a man with healed hands, but there's a bunch of Pharisees with withered minds. And what would you rather have, a healed hand or a withered mind? And that's what Jesus is doing today. And there are people that's not going to understand when and where and how. How many of you know we serve a sovereign God? He can do what he wants to do. But that man was very thankful for what he did. And then I'm going to skip some of these. And then the rich young ruler, I'm going to read this to you. This was a young man that came to Jesus. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? See, everybody wants a loophole. They want the least that they can do about what they're doing. And I thought it kind of ironic because Jesus didn't give him all the commandments. He gave him a few, but he didn't give him all of them. And sometimes you wonder, is he guilty of all of these things? And he's just, those are the ones that's evident in his mind, and God supernaturally told him. But let's listen to the story. It says, and he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? What do I still lack? See, Jesus didn't tell him the first one about love God and have no other idols and have nothing around. Just love God. Don't cheat your brothers. Don't covet. Don't do all those things. He told him some of the commandments, but not all of them. Because a lot of people want the easy way out of the thing. And I learned a long time ago, if we're going to get Jesus, we're going to either get him all, or we're going to get him not at all. Amen? Well, we got to come to that place and let the Word of God speak to us and bring us to that place and say, let's don't take the easy way out. Let's do what he says to do. And then this is what Jesus said to him. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Come and follow me. In other words, take all your possessions, go give it away, and come. And I'm convinced by being a Christian that God were to bless that man more than he could ever imagine in his life. Not only physically, but spiritually. He would have more peace and more joy, more comfort. He would have more power in his life to be what he needs to be. And his possessions, I got a feeling, would grow higher than what Solomon ever had. But listen to the rest of the story, because we need to understand in every encounter there's pluses and there's minuses. Because a plus is somebody's life was changed and they're going to move on with God. The minuses are they're going to reject God and they're going to go a different way. And that's a sad situation. And this was one of them right here. It says, he went, but the young man heard that saying and he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. But the problem is the possessions had him. And that's why he didn't go and follow Jesus in those times. An encounter with God that was a sad place. And I got one more I'm going to share, and then I'm going to share something else. The adulterous woman, they caught her in the very act of adultery. She came, she had an encounter with Jesus, totally set free of that thing. Lazarus came back to life, the blind man from birth. Then there was a pool at the pool of Bethesda, where Jesus went one day, and that's a pool that the waters used to churn up and people would get in it and they would get healed. And they went there, and Jesus goes there one day and he's sitting there looking and watching what's going on, and there's probably hundreds of people all around waiting for their turn to get in. But right next to the pool there was a man that was crippled for a long, long time. And Jesus saw him. And he stepped over people to get to where that man was, and he says, why aren't you healed? And he said, well, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water starts churning and I can't do it and I'm not healed. And this has been many years. And Jesus touched the man and healed him. An encounter with God. Amen? Amen. And you say, well, why did he step over all these people to go to him? Because he saw somebody with a need that needed something. Amen? All right, another one was the centurion at the cross. And the centurion, there was a couple of centurions. There was Simeon, Brother Terry preached a while back about the guy that came and helped Jesus carry the cross. But this is a centurion that's usually over 60 to 100 men. He's like the captain of that group. He's in charge of that, I guess you can say. And he was there at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And when he's there, he's sitting there watching this scene, probably maybe even had part of taking the hammer and the nails and nailing it to the cross with Jesus there. He was probably doing that, or he was ordering someone else to do it. But when he saw that scene and he backed up and he looked into the face of Jesus, this is what he said. Certainly this was a righteous man. Certainly this was a righteous man. He's caught in the very act of crucifying our Jesus, but yet, and he probably heard those words from Jesus says, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that somewhere inside of him turned him around to where he saw the righteousness of God in that one thing. And I'm gonna stop right there, but I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna ask you this. You know, we can read about encounters with people with Jesus. And we can hear stories in here about people with encounters with Jesus. But I want to ask you one thing. How about your face-to-face encounter with Jesus? Have you, everybody in this room, had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus? Are we like some of those others? God just stepped over people to come bless us once in a while, and we backed out of it. We never really made a decision. Or we might be like the woman at the well. We ran. We did everything we could do to get there, and we got it. And God touched us. That was our first encounter that God started changing our lives. What a wonderful place to be, to see Jesus face to face. But then we see sometimes like the rich young ruler, where he had everything. He knew about God, but he didn't know God. And God was knocking on his heart's door that day and said, come and follow me. And I'm sure that he used that expression that he always does, Jesus did, that love that is compelled to come out of his face. And he was drawing this young man to that place. And still he turned and wouldn't follow him. What a sad situation. And there's hundreds of stories in the Bible that you just go and read the word and you'll see it. But we got to come to that place. And I want to ask you, can you tell your story? Have you put your testimony together enough in your heart that you can share that with people and tell them what great things that God has done in your life? And the key thing is, have you done that? Have you ever told your story? Are you willing to tell your story to a lost and dying world? Now, I shared this morning, a lot of people in this world today, religions, are doing everything that they can to pull people into them. I'm not going to name them. You look around, you see them. But there are cults, there's everything to give you something to get you to come in. Well, I want you to know God gave everything for you that you would come in because he desires a fellowship. He desires to have an encounter with you today. And he's calling the church out, I believe, in the days that we're living in right now to say, go out. He's already commanded us. When he left the face of this earth, I stood on that Mount of Ascension one time in Jerusalem, and I'll never forget reading that scripture when I was there. And that's where Jesus ascended from. And he says, go ye therefore into all the world and teach the word of God, preaching the word of God. Show them all things that I have shown you. Make disciples of everyone that you see. What a call. That's not for Pastor Terry and me. That's for you, church. That's for every one of us. We go when we have an encounter. That qualifies us, I guess you can say, to go out and teach people about Jesus. And I want to ask you today, if you're not there, if you've never done that, I want everybody to close your eyes. I can't see with the lights down so low, but that's okay. If you're there and you've never told your story, or you want to go tell your story, and you've just been afraid, and you've let other things take that place, I want you to lift your hands right now. I promise you I'll not embarrass you about anything. But I want you to lift your hands all over this place and just let me see. Because I want to pray for you right now. that God would do something in your life, that you would come to that place. Thank you. I see those hands. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I want to encourage you, church. We're going to see some great things in the days to come, because we're fixing to enter a new encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. An exciting time that's coming. And I want to ask you one more thing. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ in your life ever, I want you to lift your hand. I want to see you so I can pray for you. Wherever you are, if anybody's here. Okay? I'll see you later. All right? I want to pray for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you saw every hand that went up here today. And Lord, you've touched people's hearts that might have not dawned on them yet, but you're doing a work in our lives, Lord, and we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for these that lifted their hands and they want more of you in their life. They want to have a closer encounter, a face-to-face relationship with you. They want to hear your voice. They want to watch your hand as you move their lives. Lord, they want you in their lives. And Father, I pray for them today that you would encourage them, strengthen them, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost, Lord God, and let them be the people that you've called them to be. And Lord, we look forward to see what you're going to do, not only in their lives, but in our lives, Lord. In the days to come, Lord God, we want to have an encounter with you every day of our lives, Lord God, to know your presence, Lord God, to know your power, to sense you in everything that we do, Lord God. Father, we thank you today in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for your word. It says to ask and to seek and to knock. And we also thank you that your word says that we have to be obedient in hearing your voice. And when we hear your voice, Lord God, we will be obedient. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name today. Amen. Amen. I'm going to still do this because I don't know. What time we got time? Okay. I want to do this. The Lord told me the other night to get up and say some things, and I didn't do it in the first service. It was a little different than this. But I don't want you to go away from here and not be healed. I don't want you to go away from here and not know that God's touched you. But in our men's group the other night, we were praying, and I'd asked the guys, I said, I want y'all to be ready. And I know we got people in here that's been to the 21 days of prayer. They're ready. They prayed up. They're ready to go. They're ready to do things. And the Lord had already showed me that they got some people in here. One of them has got an ankle problem in your left leg. I'm going to say these, and when I do, I want you to just stand up. I want you to stay right where you are, but I want you to stand up. Somebody with an ankle, this bone that sticks out on your leg right there, I want you to stand up if that's bothering you. Another one, there's I can't even pronounce it half the time. It's a nerve that runs from your toes up the back, platus fanus or something. What is it? We have a doctor. What's that thing called? Plantar fasciitis. Is that right? That's close enough. It's that nerve on the bottom of your foot. You got that? If you got that, I want you to stand up right now. Stand up, okay? Okay. Now, this may seem silly to you, but the Lord told me that somebody was coming here today, and they had not planned on coming here. They were just going to come and turn in and drive in the driveway. If that's you, I want you to stand up. If that's not you, it might have been in the first service. It might have been because I ate too much pizza last night. But that's okay. I'm not trying to say that was prophetical, but I did get that twice. And when I get something, I'm going to give it to you. And if you don't want it, it's not yours, throw it away. It's fine. I did too. I'll throw it away right now. Unless somebody stands up. Now I'm going to come rejoice with you. I'm going to buy you dinner wherever you go. Okay? Now, I don't want to get off the subject, but another thing is I keep seeing like a lightning thing in someone's eye on the right side, and it's pretty evident that it's there. Not only is it a light, but it's also a bad twitch in there, more than what you normally have on a daily basis. Anybody got that? Tell you something else he told me. I don't want you to stand up about this. Somebody's got a job opportunity to go somewhere, and you know some of the people that's there. And the Lord says, don't go there until one person that's there is removed from that place. That might not make sense to everybody, but I believe he's telling me to tell you that. And you'll know who that one person is. And God will remove them. You don't remove them, and nobody else does. God will move that person out of there before you ever go there. It's a danger signal is what it is. And another thing I see, I know a lot of people have back problems. Probably half of in here could do that. But there's at least two people here that's never had back problems ever. And your back has been bothering you in the last 2 weeks more than you can even stand it at times. I want you to stand up if you're here. Thank you. Another one is migraine headaches. You've never had a migraine headache in your life. But every time you go to read your Bible or you go to witness or even sometimes when you get ready to go to church, that headache comes and attacks you. And you know it. And you know it's not a migraine headache. It's a thing of the devil that's trying to rob you of what God's got for you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, I want everybody, the men and you that believe God, that believe God will touch these that are standing. And I want you to go to them right now. You know, some of you made a commitment when you came to the prayer meeting that God would use you in the days to come. That your encounter with God would be alive. And right now it's time to put that to action. And I want you to find someone that you can go lay hands on. We got people scattered everywhere here, especially since some of you are standing up. And I want you to pray the prayer of faith and believe that God is going to touch them. That this is just not going to be somebody calling out stuff and they're going to go away empty. But they're going to be touched and healed by the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every one of these that you've touched today, Lord God. They're here, Lord. They've responded to your call. And Holy Ghost, we just believe right now that they're standing to their feet because they believe and they trust in you, Lord, that you're going to do something new and different in their lives. Lord, that they're going to be able to walk. They're going to be able to move and have their being, Lord God, in everything that you've called them to do, Lord. And Father, right now in Jesus' name, we speak total healing to them. Healing in Jesus' name from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Lord, we look to you to do the miracle, Lord God. You're the miracle working God. You're the one, Lord Jesus, that went to the whipping post and they beat your back with that cat of nine tails and they striped your back. And Lord, your word says it's by your stripes that we are healed, Lord God. Already healed, Lord. And we believe that, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you went to the cross, Lord, and our sins were nailed to that cross. And our sicknesses and our iniquities, Lord, they were nailed there. And we thank you, Lord, that it's already done. And we call it for your glory, Lord God, that everything that's done here today, Lord God, would be to you, Lord, to touch, to minister to every person here. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for healing. Thank you, Lord God, for filling. Thank you, Lord God, for ministering to these today, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. How many of you want to go deeper with the Lord? Amen. I can't see y'all. Y'all raise your hands. Yeah. Bark. Do something. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope I've challenged you today. Take it and go with it. And get deeper with God and watch God do some great and mighty things in your life. Amen. And don't forget to come back next Sunday. Bruce is going to be here and God's going to use him. We're going to see some great miracles. Please go find somebody that needs a touch from God and bring them here. Who would have ever thought about somebody that an 18-wheeler fell on and cut him in half would ever be standing here whole preaching the Word of God? But you're going to see that come when he comes here. Amen?